Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry experts with you. Today, for the first time on the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast, we actually have two guests. And I don't just mean two guests. I mean, we have a couple who's really going to be sharing today from their heart on how they took their business from being two school teachers to having over $1 million in revenue coming in. So you're going to want to make sure you get your pen and paper, because believe me, we're going to have some writer downers. So let me tell you a little bit about them. So today's guests are Shane and Jocelyn Sams, founders of Flip Lifestyle and host of the Flip Lifestyle podcast. Shane and Jocelyn are former school teachers turned entrepreneur. And after years of bad bosses, job losses, and frustration at work, they started an online business. That business made it possible to quit their jobs, spend more time with family, and earn millions in passive income online, all while working around 20 hours a week. Now Shane and Jocelyn help other families do the same by connecting with them through their podcast and their online community. And their business mission is to help family-focused people start and grow successful online membership, as in recurring revenue websites, and to spread this message to as many people as possible, so that they can spend more time with their families like they're doing now, so they can have a flip lifestyle. So I love that. I'm all about lifestyle myself. So thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Patty. We are really happy to be here with you today.
Patty, I'm excited. We are pumped up to be here on this podcast today. And to know that I'm the first, we're the first to have two guests on at the same time. It's like we're breaking barriers here too. So I'm pumped up.
I love it. You know, and I really love it from a couple point of view, right? You know, because not just male and female, husband and wife, couples, you know, we just have a different perspective. So I love it because today we're going to be able to look through the lens of both of you and really kind of see how that works. So there are men and women listening right now. So I really love the idea that we're going to have this perspective. I may have to do this more often because I'm really going to love it.
Well,
so let's jump in.
There are a few of us out there.
I know.
Yes. Some people call us the crazy ones, but you know what? It's pretty rewarding when you can get on the same page. Sometimes you're in the same chapter, but you can get back on the same page usually with a little discussion or two. So
I love it. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But first, I kind of want to talk a little bit about the journey, because I read all about it and I really think it's a very interesting journey. And I especially thought, for me, from somebody who has 13 grandchildren. I have 6 daughters and 13 grandchildren, right? So I get it. And I want to say that when I read your story about how one of the things that was the catalyst for you making this shift was a specific incident that happened to one of your children, which is kind of interesting for somebody who are school teachers, right? So you think that would never happen. And how could it have happened to two parents that were school children? So tell us a little bit about that journey of what life was like. Here we were school teachers, and what was the catalyst and the shift to what you're doing now?
Yeah. So, I mean, Jocelyn and I were, like you said, we were school teachers. I was a social studies teacher and a football coach. Jocelyn was an elementary school librarian, and we had kind of punched our ticket. We were on the railroad track to retirement. We were about 10 years in to our teaching careers, and really we weren't going to waver off of that until something happened, because we had good jobs, especially in Southeast Kentucky. We had insurance, we had an income, and we had retirement way on the horizon, far, far away someday. But one morning, I was dropping my kids off at a daycare. Jocelyn used to take our little girl to a facility that was for two-year-old kids and younger. I took my son to a toddler facility. So we were kind of ships in the night in the morning. We were just driving in different directions. And I was trying to get my son out of the car one day, and he would not let go. He was crying. He was screaming. He did not want to go into the daycare. And he said that someone scared him. And I asked who it was. And he said it was one of the workers inside. And I said, why does she scare you? And he basically told me that he was being horribly, horribly mistreated in this facility. They were punishing him by locking him in a bathroom for hours at a time for potty training accidents. Wow. And we would find out later through social services and through the newspapers and everything else that there was a lot of horrific punishments going on in this daycare facility. Some kids were being held down, and they would sit on them with beanbag chairs to keep them under control. We heard all kinds of terrible stories about this place, and it kind of snuck up on us, Patty. Like, this was a wonderful facility for 20 years in our community, ran by this sweet little old lady who was basically the town's grandmother, right? And then she sold it, she retired, and the people brought in people so fast that the culture of the place changed really quickly. But I'm standing in the parking lot right now. My son is telling me this. He's only about 3 years old at the time, so I'm still piecing it together. I just know that something is really wrong, and I couldn't leave him there. But I also knew I had to be at school because I had 30 high school juniors in my room ready to burn down the building if I didn't show up, and I didn't want to go to jail. So when I took Isaac to his sister's facility, there was a lady there that had kept him, and I said, I need to leave him here for just a minute. I couldn't get a hold of Jocelyn. She had no service at the school she was at. And I said, let me leave him here. I'll come right back. I'm going to go tell my boss what's going on, make sure somebody's got my room under control. And then I'm going to run back here and get him to get the whole story. So I go to work. I go to my class, get everybody sat down. I tell a buddy of mine to come watch my room. He's like standing at each door, right, in between the rooms so he can watch my classes. I go down to talk to an assistant principal who was there at the time. And I told her the story that I just told you. I said, I've just found out this is going on. I need to get back and get him. They told me he couldn't stay because they're not like licensed for anybody over, you know, toddlers basically. And I've got to go. And my boss told me that I would have to handle my personal problems after work. She didn't have time to watch my class. She wasn't going to get me a sub. And, you know, she knew that my son needed me, but my job needed me too, was her exact words. And I left. I just took off and I went back and got in my car and I just said, okay, whatever happens, happens. If I'm in trouble after that, I don't care. And on the way back, Patty, I looked in the rearview mirror and caught myself in the eye, and I was just furious. I was just really mad, but I wasn't mad at like the daycare worker. I wasn't mad at the boss who thought that their agenda was so much more important than me and my problems. I was mad at myself. I was mad that our family had traded our freedom and our life and our security, you know, to be there for each other away for what? Like a paycheck that you got paid on Friday and it ran out the Thursday before, or a little meager retirement that you might get to draw, you know, someday. And it was in that moment that I went down the rabbit hole of, hey, I'm going to become and stay self-employed. I'm going to find a way to make an income, to make a living. I didn't know it was on the internet at this time, but I knew I couldn't work for anybody else if that was what the trade was, my freedom for the income. So now, it didn't really go smoothly in the beginning. I kind of tried some things and they didn't really work. So
yeah,
I totally get it though. I totally get it though. Cause you know, my husband, he's an aviation engineer. And so he has that job. You know, I always say that, you know, he pays our bills and I pay for our lifestyle. Right. And we have a great lifestyle. So I have to tell you, I get it. And so my husband, I always jokingly say to him that I am unapologetically unemployable.
Right.
And he laughs. He's like, what exactly does that mean? But when I say it to entrepreneurs, like they totally get it. Right. And yes. I understand it because one time when right before I decided to flip into being an entrepreneur, one day I just happened to be, and I'd been there for like 15 years, was like the highest management, was making a really great living myself. And then one day I had to go to the ladies' room and we had to ask permission. Unbelievable. Like we had
to
go.
Are you serious?
Is it okay if I go to the bathroom? Right. And she said, well, could you wait 10 minutes until such and such came back from a break? And in that moment, I was like, I am so done. I was so done that I actually have a plaque that you can't see right here on my wall that says, I will never ask to go to the restroom again.
Like, that was that's the, amazing.
That was the awesome. Thing for me that said, I will never do it. So I think everybody has it. That's why I love to ask this question, because everybody has their own thing, like their own line in the sand that when that happens, they're like, I'm done. And now they're open to seeing things that maybe were there already, but they just weren't really willing to look at them because they thought that what they were doing was their plan A, right? And I got to tell you, sometimes plan B becomes your plan A, and that's flipping it for sure. So I really love that. And I actually
the problem is, Patty, you still have to pay your mortgage and you still have to pay your bills. So when I called Jocelyn, I was like, I'm quitting. This is ridiculous. She's like,
I don't know how this is going to work. Like, what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah. So we didn't quit immediately. We had to figure out something to do. And that's what sent us down this like massive rabbit hole of ideas. Like, we tried a bunch of different things. Like, I was going to be like a handyman or a home inspector. That was one of my first ideas. And the problem is, Jocelyn like looked at me and was like,
you're not handy.
Right. I couldn't fix the toilet if it broke. Right. I tried to fix the toilet one time and it took like 5 hours. So plumbing definitely wasn't in the mix. And we had all these crazy ideas. Like, we were going to start a consignment store. We were going to do all these things. But then we realized you had to have rent and you had to have light bills. You had to have electric bills. And that didn't work.
Investment capital.
Investment capital like and all those things for inventory. You know, like they haven't.
You know, a lot of times, though, really, honestly, though, I love people who can generate ideas, right? You know, because for me, like, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, squirrel, right? You know, oh, that's squirrel. And for me, I call that awesome idea syndrome. Like, you know, I have it all the time, but I just write them all down, right? You know, last year in 2020, when everything shifted, I was like, oh, let's get that book out and like see how many of those things that I just haven't had time for that. Because I'm an international speaker, so I travel all over the world all the time. All of a sudden, I wasn't doing that. I was like, oh, what could I find time for that literally I couldn't before?
And it's like your iteration book. You got to have mud to throw on the wall or you can't wipe it off to see what works, right?
Exactly.
Like, you're not throwing mud on the wall. So
I know. I love that.
So
let's kind of dive in
the
there. Let's kind of talk about that, because I really, really love that. So let's talk about if you have an idea, right? And, you know, you're right. Now you do have to come home and pitch it, you know, to your spouse. Because I remember I used to do this to my husband all the time. Oh, I have this great idea. I'm going to do this thing or I'm going to do that thing. And my husband, again, remember, he's an aviation engineer. So math is his thing, right? And I always tell him I'm too pretty to do math, right? And so I just like hated doing it. So every time I would tell him my idea, here was his answer. His answer was, so how's that going to make you money? That was like stock answer.
Well, this sounds familiar.
Right.
That sounds exactly like what my wife used to say to me.
Yeah, and that's what he'd say. And so one time I had this idea and I knew he was going to say it. So literally, I'm going to tell you, I worked on it all day, right? All day. And I couldn't wait for him to get home because I knew he was going to ask me that and I was going to have my whole answer, right? So he did. And I said, oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. And I was like off and running and blah, 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 blah. Here's how we're going to do it. And when I got done, I'm so proud of myself. My chest is all puffed up. I mean, you can just imagine. And my husband looked at me and he had this look on his face. And I'm like, what? He's like, well, I love the, you know, the energy and how excited you are, but you have a decimal in the wrong place. And man, I was so dejected because
that was supposed to be a comma.
Exactly. Right. And so I remember going, oh, now I'm back to the drawing board. But like, I totally get it. Like, when you have to do it. So let's talk a little bit. I know this is something that you help people with. How do you get your spouse on board when all of a sudden you're saying, oh, let's do this online business thing, or let's do this, or you have a dream and you've got to go home and explain it to your spouse, male or female, whichever it is. What are some of the ways that you would say that would help you to get your spouse on board?
There's only one way is the problem. You know, you think it's enthusiasm. You think it's your faith in yourself and their love and hope and everything that you try to put your hands on. But that's not how it works. I tried it that way. You clearly tried it that way. And they just find the decimals when they're in the wrong place every single time because it's not your dream. And I don't think it's because they don't believe in you. It just might be like something new.
Well, I think sometimes people just aren't ready. You know, like, I wasn't ready to hear that message. Like, we had had this bad thing happen, but I was still in 9-to-5 mode thinking, you know, this is what we have to do. Like we,
well, you were the fixer. You were trying to fix it.
We have college degrees, master's degrees. I mean, we were tenured teachers. I mean, it's not like we were just starting out in our career. We were on the path. Like when I quit, my boss was basically like, you got this much time in and you're going to give all that up. And I was like, yeah, but there's 18 years left, bro, before we have to give it up. So of course I'm going to give it up. But when I went down this rabbit hole of online business, I kept telling Jocelyn, I said, there's something to this. There's something happening on the internet. There's something going on. This was back in 2012 before kind of like what we know now is the internet, right? And I was like, something's going on here. And I kept studying it and telling her about it, but it wasn't like setting in. And it kind of wasn't even setting in to me. I was like, you can make money online? How is that even possible? And I was in the car one day. We were going to Muhlenberg County, Kentucky to see Jocelyn's family. That's where she's from. And I was looking out the window and I'd been thinking about all these different ways to make money and nothing was really coming into play. And I looked over at Jocelyn and I had this idea. I said, do you think I could get 100 people to send me $50? She said, she kind of looked at me like out of the corner of her eye, like she does when I say something crazy, right? And I'm like, seriously, think about it. There's 7 billion humans on the earth. And I'm pretty sure like 3 or 4 billion of them can get on the internet. I only need 100 of them to send me $50 a month. And that would make $60,000 a year, which is basically what we made as school teachers when you combine both of our salaries together. And then Jocelyn's throwing water on the fire fashion. She basically was like, yeah, but
you know, that sounds really nice, but how are you going to do that?
Right, exactly. I hadn't had that part figured out yet. But my answer came a couple weeks later. I was outside cutting my grass. I was on my riding lawnmower. And I was listening to podcasts. Podcasts were just emerging at the time. And these business podcasts and these marketing people and all these things were just kind of coming into the forefront of everybody's, you know, attention. And I found this podcast. It was by a guy named Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn. Pat is an amazing dude, one of the biggest podcasters on the planet. He's become a great friend of ours and mentor. And back then, there was only, you know, it was like episode 30. So he wasn't the Pat Flynn of today, right? But I was listening to this podcast of him tell his story of how he created a study guide for the architecture licensing exam. And he created a blog where he was talking about passing this test and other architects started following him. And then he sold this PDF to these people for like $50 and he made like $9,000 on his launch. And as he's telling his story, Patty, I about flipped my lawnmower upside down, drove over the hill. I just jumped off of it and let it go. And I ran inside and I busted back in the back door in the kitchen. Jocelyn was over by the stove making lunch for the kids or something. And I was like, Jocelyn, I figured it out. I know how we're going to quit our jobs. I'm going to email people PDFs and they're going to send money back. And she was just like, no, you're not. She's like, that's not going to work.
I'm
right?
I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Right. At this point I was determined I'd figured this out. I knew there was something to this, but I didn't understand the particulars. I didn't understand that he had had to create an audience and a blog and all these things.
This is like jumping out of the plane and figuring it out on the way down, right?
Yes, this is sewing your parachute together on the way down was basically what I did at this point. So for the next few months, I just started trying to make websites and trying to do blogs. I had this blog called Toddler Apocalypse where I just told funny stories about my kids. And I'm like, who's going to give you money for this? This is just me being silly, you know? And I had all these different ideas. I had these like spammy websites with Google ads all over them. I would promise people like there was a PDF in there somewhere. If you just had to click all the links and it was like whack-a-mole and one of them gave you the thing, but nobody ever clicked anything. So it didn't even matter. There was no content on the pages and I was failing miserably. And the whole time Jocelyn was watching me, I was selling things at yard sales to buy the next course, to learn the next thing. And like Jocelyn was like, you don't have any stuff left. And I was spending all my time on this. And it was really starting to become kind of annoying, I think, wouldn't you say?
We're spending money on websites and this and that. Like, you know, we don't have a lot of extra money as teachers. And I'm like, listen, dude, like, this is not working. Like, we're not going to be able to do this.
Yeah, so I was
But here's what I am going to say about that, though. So one of the things I really, really believe in, so go you, Shane, is I believe that you really can't ask other people to invest in you if you're not willing to invest in you, right? You know, so when people come to me and they say, oh, Patty, you know, I really want you to, you know, teach me how I can get on stages or do this or do that. And I want people to pay me like $10,000 for that or $5,000. And my first question is, have you ever wrote a check for $5,000? And they'll be like, oh, heck no. And I'm like, well, guess what? That's not very authentic. And like, what are you going to say when people ask you that? Right. You know, so you really do have to kind of invest in you. So I say, good for you that you were doing that. It was just kind of like you were going to school and this is just how you were doing it. You didn't pay for another college degree. You were just doing it along the way.
The problem is when I write the check, Patty, I'm pulling out of both our bank accounts. So I think that was where the frustration was when I was doing this stuff. And I was seriously about to give up. I was laying in bed one night. It was like close to midnight. Jocelyn was reading a book and I was laying there in like that depressed. You ever been like so depressed? Like you're laying in your bed and you got your like your laptop on your chest and like you're holding it on there with your chin and trying to move the mouse with your chin. Like that's the level of depression I was in this night, guys. Because I was looking at my stats on AdWords and like ad accounts and affiliate links for Amazon, all this stuff. Everything was zero. Goose eggs across the board, just like every single night. And I shut my computer and threw it on the bed. And I went to the bathroom to get ready for bed. And I didn't even turn the light on. I just walked in the bathroom in the dark. And I remember standing there brushing my teeth. I remember that like the darkness of the bathroom was on one side of my face and the light from the lamp was on the other. And I really felt like I'm literally at a crossroads. I'm literally standing here at a crossroads. And I just prayed. I just said, God, I said, is this real? Because I've been doing this for months and I haven't made a dime. And is this Pat Flynn guy? Is he full of nonsense? Like, are these people really making money on the internet? Because I've done so much work. I've worked harder at this than probably anything I've ever done in the last few months and just nothing's happening. So I just prayed for anything. I was like, if it's true, tell me and then we'll go after
it. Give me a sign, right? I need a sign.
Either way, hey, listen, I'll get back on the railroad track and we're off to retirement and I'll just be, you know, in my little spot on the bus for the rest of my life.
You know, the thing that you're saying, though, that I really love is the whole premise for my show is for people to come on and share what's working now, not what worked 5 years ago or 2 years ago, right? You know, because there's a lot of gurus that made a lot of money doing things that now you're not going to get people to do. Because, you know, it first came out then people were like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Right. You know, people really don't do banner ads now and some of that kind of stuff. Like it doesn't work. It's kind of sleazy sales now because now people are so much more careful about stuff. But it did make a lot of people a lot of money, though.
It made me no money, but it did make me my most important money, which is what convinced Joss. This is the thing I think that all spouses have to do to get their partner on board with their online business was you have to prove that something works. And when I walked out of that bathroom that night, I was about to go to bed and I opened my computer and I was like, I'm just going to check my stuff like one more time. And this is honest to God truth. I hit refresh and whereas zero had been there before, there was 11 cents. Like I had created content and someone had clicked an ad and we made a dime and an actual penny. And I thought it was $1 million.
Proof of concept.
I spun that around and I showed it to Jocelyn. And I said, and I was going crazy. Like it was like we had won a football game or won the Super Bowl or something.
You could find more money in the console of your car right now.
Right. But to me, it was like the greatest thing that I had ever done in my entire adult life. And Jocelyn, to her credit, she looked at it. And I remember her head like tilting to the right, like in kind of like shock that it actually did something. And she looked up at me and she said, what else could we do? And that was that once she saw that we could create something, put it on the internet and money could come
and
back.
She was sold now. You'd exactly. Sold it to her. It was sold. And now you're on the same page. And that is super important. And I get that, too, because I know sometimes my husband will be with me and I'll be talking to somebody. We'll be at something. And then my husband kind of jumps in and starts telling people, oh, yeah, Patty can whatever. And I'll look at him sometimes. And I'm like, oh, guess you've been listening and, you know, like, and it's really interesting hearing him say it, right? Because he hears me on the phone, you know, he hears me and, you know, certainly he listens to my podcast and stuff though. But man, there is no greater feeling though, when your spouse is on board though, right?
I mean,
when you're all in and they're all in too, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's when they jump in and look at your spammy website and say, Shane, that's terrible. Take that all down. Let's start over from scratch. And then we started building out what Jocelyn would call elementarylibrarian.com.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, we're very opposite. So, you know, like when I got on board and started, I would take things that he had learned and I would like kind of put my spin on it. And, you know, I would do some research myself and figure things out.
She was getting the Cliff Notes version of like everything I had bought and done over the last 6 months. And she created a blog and started making real content. And
he would like trick me into listening to podcasts. Like we would be in the car and he would be like, let's listen to this podcast.
Oh, there was one time we were on I-75 going south and there was a huge detour down through Jellicoe, Tennessee, which is a valley. And I was like, this is going to be, she's trapped. She can't get out of the car for 3 hours. I just said, let's listen to this. Let's listen to this. And just, we were listening to all of the information.
You slick thing, you.
I don't know.
I was excited for a detour. Who's ever been excited like for a detour? But that's what Jocelyn did. She built the website and she started actually selling digital products like Pat Flynn told me to do and I didn't listen to. And all of a sudden, people started reading. We started having an audience. We started having an email list. We started finding polling our audience and asking them, what do you actually want?
And like, now, isn't that crazy? Because I tell that to people all the time, like, well, what about this, Putty? And what about that? And I don't know what they want. I'm like, well, here's this really interesting thing. Like, to get the data you need, all you have to do is ask. Like, people love to tell you their opinion. Just ask. And with social media being the way it is right now, I mean, it's pretty easy to just hashtag the word ask and literally ask people and they will just love to tell you. And now you have data, right? So I think that's important. But I want to make sure that we can really cover some of the things I want to cover. So one of the things I really want to make sure that I'm sure that people are frothing at the bit here is that when you're talking about online business, right? Which, of course, people talk about all the time, right? Now, right now. But what everybody doesn't talk about, right? They talk about online marketing, right? I mean, I'm in the marketing business, right? But they don't really talk about memberships and recurring revenue memberships, right? You know, and stuff. And so I really love, you know, this whole model that you're talking about. So here's what I want to say first. People love to know what not to do just as much as they know or want to know what to do, right? And a lot of times, if you talk about the myths first, we can kind of get rid of some of that. So now they're ready to listen when you start telling them what to do. So I always like to do it in that order. So let's kind of talk about it. I saw it on your website and I really loved it. So let's talk about some of the biggest membership myths first.
Okay. So these are easy for me because when I first learned about this model, I was like, okay, there's no way this is going to work because when we first started our online business, you know, we were selling like one-off products. So I created lesson plans for librarians and Shane made like coaching products for football coaches. And when we first learned about the recurring revenue model, this was back in like 2015, we had gone to a live event over in the Philippines and we had met some people who were doing this. And, you know, I started looking at it and I'm like, okay, this is not going to work. I mean, people are just going to come in, they're going to steal all my stuff and then they're going to leave in like 1 month. But, you know, Shane somehow talked me into doing this as well.
It's because I had her trapped again, Patty. We were on an airplane and we were on a 14-hour flight from Korea to like Dallas or somewhere.
No internet.
And I was like, okay, whoop, notebooks. Let's really figure this out. How are we going to switch over to this? Because we kind of were doing memberships, we just didn't realize it. Like Jocelyn made some lesson plans for librarians and she would say, hey, if you want me to make August, then pay. And she would sell them for like whatever dollars August cost, like at the dollar a day, 29 bucks, whatever. And then next month she would go, hey, I'm gonna make September if a bunch of people buy it. And then I'm going to make October if a bunch of people buy it.
See people do that now. That's called prompts, right? You know, people say, oh, I can give you these prompts. And I got to tell you, Shane, one of the things that really sold me on really myself on the online was I was on this podcast as a guest and they had another guest too. And so I was second. The other guest was first. So I was stuck in the green room, so to speak, listening, right? And I have to tell you, this guy said something and I was thinking, you've got to be kidding. Nobody would pay for that. And what this guy said was he used to be a salesperson. And now what he did all day, and he actually showed pictures of him where he would just kind of kick back in his living room and do these podcast interviews. And what he was doing was showing people how to make money. And here's what he did. He actually just started trolling on Google, like what were the searches that people were asking for? And he said he made, are you ready for this? $50,000 in 1 week writing an ebook on how to give a best man speech.
Yep.
Because right. It was, people were wanting to know, they have to write this speech to give as the best man. And they were asking for that. He made $50,000 in 2 weeks doing that. And he's like, oh, what else do they need? And then the next one he did, these were the two examples he gave. The next one he did was how to talk yourself out of getting a speeding ticket. Like, these were the searches people were searching for. He's like, oh, well, I can create a solution for that. And people were just buying them like $5, $5, sure. $5. So $50,000 in 2 weeks revenue, $5, $5, $5. So when he said that, I was like, man, that's like something, you know, you should be looking at. So that's what, like, when I'm hearing his voice in my head right now while I'm listening to you going, you know what, this stuff works if you have the right idea. But first, let's talk about the myths, because I do want to touch on those ideas. So tell me the membership myths. So Jocelyn, continue on. How many of them are there?
So, I mean, I'll say that is probably a big one as far as, like, you know, people thinking that if people pay once, they're going to leave a month later. But what we realized is that really that only happened about like 4% of the time.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, am I going to worry about the 4% of people who do that? Or am I going to worry about the 96% of people who don't do that?
Yeah.
What else would you say?
I would say then the next one that we discovered was that people don't like monthly payments. And that's just a total myth. Like, people love monthly payments. It's why you have Disney Plus. It's why you have Netflix. It's why you have Amazon Prime. People love
and
to
memberships, divide up all of those things.
Memberships and value. And when we were selling things, when we looked at our business, we were selling every month like these one-off launches. And we were living launch to launch, and it was really overwhelming and really stressful. And when we said, hey, let's move it to a monthly payment model where we can take the total cost. Like, Jocelyn eventually started charging like $500 for her whole year of lesson packs. And like, we started adding that bigger ticket. We said, let's make that like an annual plan, and then we'll divide it up into monthly, and people can just pay for it month after month. And the first week that we switched to the membership model, we did like $60,000 in sales or something crazy. And it was because we thought no one was going to buy off with the big ticket stuff. But we had annual plans. We had librarians running to their schools, begging them to buy this for them. And we had hundreds and hundreds of people that signed up for the monthly price, and they loved it. And what we found out through that we thought was a myth, was that people wanted everything all at once, but they don't. They want to go to the bookshelf and get off what they need.
Well, they do, because it's too overwhelming to have it all at once.
Yes.
Yeah. And we also found that they love, you know, it's a great compromise between the seller and the buyer, because the seller, you can charge what your product is actually worth, which I was having a hard time with before we went to the membership.
Because it's broken up in a monthly payment, basically.
And then for the buyer, you know, it's good for them because they get to pay the smaller payment instead of making that big lump sum up at the front.
Yeah. And what we really found, now this is the biggest thing about the membership model, though. Like, we're focused on content right now because people do come for the content, but they will not stay for content. It's not a membership if all you're doing is saying, well, I've got a course, I'll charge monthly for it. That's not going to
fly. It's
got to
be about the community, right? That's what makes them stay, right?
Yeah. What we realized that the elementary librarians loved was that they were in a community of other people, and they were the loneliest people in the school building because there's only one of them. And then when we got my football coaches in a membership, we realized they love the click of this specific defense that only we ran, man. It was the secret club or group or whatever, right? And when we realized that, we started going all in on community. The community is what's going to keep people there when you can bring like-minded people together. Like you said, your husband loves Harley Davidsons. Like, a community of Harley Davidsons, then people love Harley Davidson. If you can give them a place on the internet to belong, they will pay you forever and anything you want just to stay inside of this membership, because you're leading a community of people who happen to be accessing content. Now, that's when the magic of the membership model really started happening for us.
Okay, good, because I'm going to actually test that right now. So first of all, I want everybody who's listening to know that we didn't preset this up. I just know, and I've never done this before, but hey, we're just going to go with it right now. I'm in my groove. So what I want to know is, people think to themselves, oh, what kind of ideas? I can't think of any ideas. So let's just kind of throw out some ideas. What are some ideas? So if somebody wanted to have this, you know, recurring revenue membership site, they really wanted to build a culture and a community, this is something they really wanted to do, they want to get out of their job, whatever, like, just to give them ideas. You know, I think when people listen to ideas, those ideas may not be for them, but it kind of gets your juices going, like, oh, well, what about this? And what about that? So let's kind of talk about it. Like, let's, Shane, you go first. Then Jocelyn, I'm going to ask you, just kind of tell me some ideas.
Well, we'll just give you some ideas, some examples from our community. Like, the first example that comes to my head always is this guy named Kenny Troiano out in San Diego, California. He came into our community and he told us, I love chickens. We're like, you love what? He goes, I love chickens. I raise chickens in my backyard. I just love chickens. So we're like, hey, start a podcast, create some content on how to, you know, your first chicken, the first 6 months with your chicken, like that's your course. He makes this course. And I said, we should start a community about chickens. And he all of a sudden start this podcast. It's called Bred to Perfection. He now has tens of thousands of listeners all over the world. And he has a membership site with like almost 200 people paying him every single month just to hang out with other people who love to raise backyard chickens. Like, he's making his entire living waking up like we are right now talking about money and marketing. He's talking about chickens. He's talking about feathers. I don't know what he's talking about, but that's his membership. So that's definitely one of my favorite examples of taking something you love and know and turning it into content, community, and providing leadership.
So, I love that. So now let's do this rapid fire thing. Idea. Let's go. Jocelyn.
Gotcha. All right. So one of my favorites, her name is Rebecca. She was a former cardiac nurse, but she had a bad birth experience with one of her children. And she decided that she wanted to create a website for people who wanted to know more about like how to make a birthing plan and like do home births and different types of birth. And so she now has a website. It's called Evidence-Based Birth, and it is for midwives, doctors, nurse practitioners, and even people who just want to have a better birthing experience.
Yeah. And that's a 7-figure membership. It's a huge company. She actually wrote a book after she launched her membership, and it was number 2 behind only What to Expect When You're Expecting on Amazon.
Wow.
So her membership turned into a best-selling book. Another one of my favorites, I just talked to her the other day. Her name is Rena Oriana, and she is a flamenco dancer. And she had a flamenco, like a Spanish dancer studio out in Los Angeles. And she was just barely getting by with her studio. And she had reached that classic time for dollar ceiling where she couldn't do anything anymore. She said, do you think people would want to learn flamenco dancing online? And we're like, yes, they would. So she starts a membership where she has lessons about flamenco dancing. This is a niche dance, so people love it. It's like a culture. Like when you get into it, you're really into it, like a tango or something, right? And she launches her membership, and now she has like 400 members all over the world. And when the pandemic broke out, her studio got shut down, so she couldn't make in-person money. So she just tripled her membership during the pandemic, and now she's making more money than she's ever made in her life just because she started a membership on flamenco dancing. Like you would think that's a hobby, right? But, you know, she met a need for people. They needed to have lessons. They could, maybe there wasn't a flamenco studio down here in Southeast Kentucky.
And maybe they just want to be in a community with other people who just
who like what they like. That's exactly right. Yeah.
I love that. So this is just fabulous. And I think that it is really important for people to understand that this is a way for them to just flip their life, right? You know, you talk about these things, you think about the things that you like to do, right? You know, and you know, hey, the best businesses always come out of something you're passionate about, right? And if you can take something you're passionate about and make it your purpose too, like that's really kind of the intersection of where it really.
And for us, one thing we teach, Patty, though, like especially with online business is, you know, Jocelyn and I are passionate now about Flip Lifestyle because of how we got into this business. But our first businesses were things we knew, we were trained for, we had wisdom, we had experiences. We don't always say go after your passion. Sometimes you make a ton of money off of what you know on your own, and that can lead to the time and the money and the freedom to let you get to your passions. Now, if you can marry those in the very, very beginning, that's great. That's absolutely amazing. But we've seen just as many people take their actual business and turn that into an amazing membership. So, or take that, like if you're a real estate agent or you're in sales, then you start a blog and you start a podcast, you start a membership, you start coaching, you start doing these things. That can be very, very lucrative as well. And you get a little more passionate about it when you're working for yourself. So you might even love what you do more.
I think that is so true. That is so true. I have to tell you, this has just been fabulous. I'll have to have you guys come back again because I could just keep going on with this conversation. I love it. So how can people connect with you? And I know they will. So go ahead and tell us how they can connect with you.
All right. Well, we have a podcast. It's called the Flip Lifestyle Podcast. You can check that out. And you can check out our website, fliplifestyle.com.
Yeah, every week, we actually coach a real member of our community on air, and we let everybody else listen in. So check that podcast out, subscribe, and we'll tell you all about how to start building girl membership sites.
That is awesome. And you come bearing a gift. And I love that. So you could tell them a little bit more about the gift. We'll have the link below in the show notes so people will be able to grab the link there. I'll go ahead and tell them a little bit about what they're going to get.
Sure. If you go to Flipped Lifestyle, that's F-L-I-P-P-E-D lifestyle.com/MMM. We will give you a absolute free training. We pulled it out of our community. We put it right on a page just for you and your listeners, Patty, on how to come up with your idea. And most importantly, make sure it can make money on the internet. We have a process where you can research it and they'll say, hey, this is making money. I just have to go get a piece of the pie. So that's flipped lifestyle.com/MMM. And you can download our free, or you can watch our free idea course.
Love that. And this is the Marketing Media and Money Show. And this is where we have what I like to call social karaoke and an open mic, where we turn the mic over to our guests and we ask you to share your number one marketing, media, and money strategy.
The best thing that we can say, now listen, we've learned this over the last 8 years. We've coached thousands of people in our community. And the people who succeed do these three things. They are consistent, they are prolific, and they are relentless. They consistently create content. Now that's at least weekly, but probably more times a week in this day and age. But they prolifically promote their content. They share it on every social media account. They do what we're doing right now. They have great conversations with other people and they promote all of that awesome content that they do. But then if you really want to make money on the internet, there's only one way to do it. You relentlessly follow up. This is not get in front of people one time, people. It's get an email address, get contact information, keep telling them about your content so you can relentlessly follow up and tell them all the things that you're doing and all the things that you have for sale. And if you do that, then you give yourself the right to go out and build a community, the right to build a membership site, the right to serve your customers. But that's the things that we do in our business. We just had our quarterly planning meeting yesterday and we started out consistent, prolific, and relentless. Here's what we will do consistently. Here's what we will do prolifically. Here's what we will do relentlessly. It's our core values and it's how we've made all of our money online.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate both of you coming on the show. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your brilliance so generously.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
It was fun. Thank you so much, Patty.
And thank you to our sponsor, the Exacta Corporation, developer of the Family Organizer Plus platform. For more information, make sure you check them out at exactacorp.com. And thank you for joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. So thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you all in the next episode of the Marketing Media and Money Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing Media and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing Media and Money Magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.